This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, the mamas and the papas. Boy, that's an oldie but a goodie. I wonder if any of them are still around. I'll ask Ed in a minute. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. The two of us, we thank you for being here. It's Monday, November the 13th, as we move along through the month. We got a lot to talk to you about today. In a few minutes, Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us, and we are going to talk about a carbon tax on imports being proposed by a Republican senator that'll ultimately mean higher energy prices for Americans. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And did you hear the news? South Carolina Senator Tim Scott abandons his presidential ambitions. The question, who will he now back in the Republican primary? We are going to look into that. And it seems like pro-life groups are rejecting the idea that Republicans cannot win on the abortion issue. It doesn't seem like Republicans are doing very well so far, but we're going to examine all of that and see if Republicans can find a winning path on abortion. We will give you the details. And in our ultimate top 10, not long ago, we gave you the top 10 best states for education freedom. We are going to give you today the top 10 worst states for the freedom of education. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored, as always, by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, don't waste time looking. I'm telling you, go over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. You will get a great haircut and a terrific price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And if it has anything to do with trees on your property, business or personal, ArborLife Tree Service is the place. Tampa Bay's greatest premier tree service. Whether you want to remove trees, plant trees, stump grinding, whatever, call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right. So, you listen to Biden, and it's hard to do that, by the way, listen to Biden. But when you do listen to Biden, he always talks about Biden economics these days and how everything's got inflation is coming down, and look at all the people that I have helped employ since I became the president. You should be so happy about it. Well, inflation may be easy, but many Americans just are not seeing it on prices. Everyday items on the store shelves remain higher than ever, higher than they were before the pandemic. And even after inflation peaked in 2022. Here is Mitch Rochelle. He's Madison Ventures Managing Director. He says, the challenge with inflation is it's cumulative.
So let's say inflation goes up 8% 1 year, and then the next year goes up 10%, and then it comes down, but it's the rate of inflation goes, it slows down to 3%. Big deal. What is that? That's 21% higher than it was before. That's the truth of things. Take a look at food. Food is up, on average, almost 4% since 2020. In 3 years, it's gone up 4%. Poultry is actually down. Chicken is lower than it was. Did you know that, Ed? It says here poultry is down 0.4%.
They lied.
Really?
Well, I was just
this
in the grocery
store. This is a price check. Yeah, go ahead.
I actually picked up a thing of chicken, and it was still the same price it was when it shot. I used to get $1.99 a pound for boneless skin, and all of a sudden it shot up to $2.97.
Yeah, I thought so too, but this is what it said. Now, this is from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Do you like steak?
Sure.
It's up 7%.
Yeah, steak is higher. Yeah.
Frozen vegetables are up 11%. Okay. Point, a 30-year fixed mortgage. You know what it was in November 2020? It was 2.84% if you were going to mortgage your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, it was 7.5%. It means that in September of 2020, you could buy a home for $312,000. Today, that same home is $394,000. If my math is right, that means your home is $82,000 more expensive. So the point being, don't listen to Mr. Biden when he tells you things are doing great. Hey, they ain't doing that great. They ain't doing that great. Now, were you surprised, Dad, that Senator Tim Scott announced he is quitting his campaign for president? South Carolina Senator Tim Scott said yesterday he is suspending his campaign. He says, I think the voters, who are the most remarkable people on the planet, have been really clear that they're telling me not now. In addition to ending his campaigning, he emphasized he will not endorse another candidate in the race for the Republican nomination.
I think he's going to wait till the field narrows.
Think he will?
Yeah.
He says the best way for me to be helpful is to not weigh in.
Yep.
Now, here's a guy that everybody says is probably the most likable guy on the dais.
Mm-hmm.
So, likability does not necessarily mean that you're going to get the votes. And I guess you can, the perfect example is Donald Trump.
Well, I would suggest whoever gets in on the Republican Party, and I would assume it would be Trump, that would give that guy a job somewhere in his administration, yeah. Very high up.
I would not be surprised if he would be offered the vice presidential
nomination. He should be definitely
nomination.
Considered for it.
Think about it. A black man, mm-hmm. a likable black man, that could help garner
the
black vote.
I just hate using that because he's black. I want the best person in there. Listen, when the Democrats did it a few years ago with Kamala Harris, we said they're only bringing her in there because she's black. Well, let's not do the same thing.
That's right.
Is he qualified? Absolutely. 100%. I don't care what color he is.
I think he's got a very good temperament. It would offset Trump. We're assuming that Trump would be the nominee. We should not, maybe. But if Trump is the nominee, he would offset mm-hmm. Trump's demeanor, which would be good. That's what you want.
But you are right. There are people that will look at that, especially for the black vote, that they will like that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's like a woman, too, that brings that certain element
there's,
to it.
There is. But I think if he were able to, I think Tim Scott would, just think about it, a black vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket. I think a lot of blacks would vote for
him. The only thing is Kamala Harris has proved the last 3 years is that it's not a very important job.
It can be downright scary.
You can make an idiot of yourself and still have a job. Electric buses.
You know, normally, you don't hear much about a vice president. But despite her best ambitions, you hear a lot about Kamala Harris.
Think of those electric school buses where our kids can go sit in the buses and plug in their iPhones.
Okay. Enough merriment. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise will join us. We're going to talk about a carbon tariff bill that should probably never see the light of day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works on a Monday, and boy, lots of things going on. Before I get to our wonderful guest, I just read this over the whatever you want to call it, the internet. Joe Biden apparently was caught on a mic calling David Axelrod, a guy that has suggested he's a political operative, David Axelrod. He was big in the Bill Clinton and Obama, right? Mm-hmm. Remember him?
Yep.
Biden has called him starts with a P and it ends with a K.
Really?
For not backing him for president.
Was this off mic?
Political columnist Jonathan Martin hammered President Biden's reelection strategy on Monday and argued that reportedly calling former Obama advisor David Axelrod a P blank 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 K in private was not going to win him any votes.
You can call him a prick. I mean, that's not a bad word.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway.
He also got caught going the wrong way off stage again.
Oh, he did?
And you know what he does?
Did he fall off the stage?
No, hides it by that fake jog he does.
I know.
You know?
Yeah, the 1.5-step
like,
jog.
No, it's okay. I'm fit. Watch.
Yeah.
And all his arms just move. That's it.
All right. Hey, we're delighted to have Darren Bast join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He is a senior fellow and the director of the Center for Energy and Environment there. And we're going to talk with him about a carbon tax being proposed by a Republican senator, Bill Cassidy. A tax which Darren says is really bad politics, maybe dumb politics and bad policy. Darren, welcome to Freedom Works.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
It's our pleasure, Darren. So tell, you know, most of us don't know much about this particular issue, but it's Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. He's a Republican, and apparently he's just introduced legislation. Is it called, I guess, the Foreign Pollution Fee Act of 2023? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it is a piece of legislation that will mean taxes and then more taxes and drive up prices for Americans. basically what it would do would be to impose tariffs on goods based on the basically the carbon intensity of the products, however that would be figured out. So it's a way to try to go after carbon emissions. But the problem is when you impose tariffs, the tariffs are actually wind up getting passed on. Those costs get paid by Americans and then passed on to consumers and also the businesses that use the goods that are actually imported. On top of that, it gets so complicated that in order to have this, some type of tariff like this, it will ultimately lead to a domestic carbon tax. It's the only way to kind of be trade compliant. So you're going to have a tax in the form of the carbon, the tariff itself, and then you're going to have a tax in the form of actually a direct tax domestically. So you're getting taxed both ways. So it means higher costs. It's just dumb politics, driving up prices at a time when people are worried about inflation and just being able to afford things right now.
Now, Bill Cassidy is from an energy state, Louisiana. Lots of energy work going on there, lots of energy people. So is he doing this just to energy companies in Louisiana?
I don't see how that's possible, but I have no idea because, quite honestly, it's a mystery to anyone as to why legislators think it's a good idea, especially now, but just at any given time, to think that driving up prices for Americans is a great idea and for taxing energy, which is what this is. It's basically taxing the production of things, of the use of energy. Why punishing energy use is a good idea, and that's exactly what it would do. I think his hook for this issue is to say, oh, we'll punish, it's a way to punish China for not being as environmentally friendly as we are. But you know what? If you want to punish China, there's many other ways to do it without punishing the Americans in the meantime.
Yeah. I guess he's going around saying, look, I want American companies to be pumping. We don't need no stinking energy from other countries. We got plenty of it here. And if I raise this this tax on imports, energy imports, it means we're going to pump more here, blah, yada, yada, yada. That's probably what he is saying. But doesn't he know deep down, like you are saying, that all it's going to do is going to raise the cost of energy for us?
Yeah, I mean, look, if we want to produce more here, then let's just produce more here. Let's stop with the obstacles to having oil lease sales. Let's block that. Let's stop these obstacles that are being imposed by the Biden administration. Let's unleash American energy. And that's exactly, he's right, if that's what his idea is, to go ahead and unleash American energy. You don't do that by then punishing Americans by imposing some of these tariffs, which also be paid by Americans, on goods from other countries. That doesn't make any sense. And it's kind of confusing what he's trying to do. Is he trying to punish China? Is he trying to address carbon issues? And you know, the other thing that has been mentioned much is some people that have pushed these carbon tariffs, what they want to do is they want to kind of appease the EU. And because the EU is upset that with all the subsidies in the Inflation Reduction Act that are going to renewable energy and all these other sources. So one way to appease them is, hey, let's create a carbon tariff, and that will make the EU happier, and then that way they won't complain to the WTO or elsewhere, World Trade Organization, about the subsidies. So it's maybe another way to try to make sure that it basically helps to ensure that the subsidies, the IRA, continue to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another problem. Like, why in the world would you want to do that?
Right. We're talking with Darren Bast. He is a senior fellow and the director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute about a carbon tariff bill from Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy. Darren, would he get any backing from any other Republican on this? It would seem to me he might get more backing from Democrats.
Well, he might get back from Democrats. He had two other Republicans supporting it. Senator Graham and
Lindsey Graham.
Senator Wicker, but
Senator Lindsey
Graham, and then Lindsey Graham and Wicker from he dropped off the bill, so now he's only got one. supporter for the Republicans.
So Lindsey Graham, a South Carolina conservative, is saying that this is a good idea. What is Lindsey Graham thinking? Is Lindsey Graham really thinking that somehow this is going to make things better energy-wise for our country?
I think that what happens is this whole idea, the carbon taxes, the carbon tariffs, there's this angle that they're trying to use, this foreign policy angle, to try to sell it, which is, it's basically really not the point of it, but maybe appease or appeal to someone like Senator Graham. The problem is, it is a very complicated way to try to punish China by ultimately punishing Americans through higher prices and through then creating a domestic carbon tax. What's interesting is that in environmental agreements like something called the Montreal Protocol, China is considered a developing country. Not a developed country, a developing country. So if you're trying to address like China and their greenhouse gas emissions or other environmental issues, make sure that in environmental agreements, they're considered a developed country, not a developing country. That would be an easy, simple type of thing to do, as opposed to trying to hurt Americans through this very complicated and maybe impossible to implement scheme.
Yeah. And you've got a lot of backing from other organizations. The Cato Institute, for an example, a scholar there, Gabriella Smith, she says carbon tariffs would likely, number one, impose tens of billions of dollars in new costs on the consumers in America, as well as the company and the employees, and provide a vehicle for protectionism, special interest protectionism, which always seems to lead to a higher price, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think that, you know, it's important to note that, I mean, when are taxes ever really kind of a great idea? Let's impose taxes. That's not exactly a conservative solution or a libertarian solution. And let's create imposed protectionism. And also, the thing I want to stress is that it's not just going to be the tariff that's the tax, ultimately leads to the tax. It's going, because of the way the trade rules work, we're going to have to pose a domestic carbon tax, almost likely. So we're going to get an actual carbon tax that have been, you know, ridiculed, opposed for so long, and we're going to get this tariff. And what's going to happen is countries will impose what's called retaliatory tariffs, which will hurt American businesses from being able to export goods overseas. So that it's just constant pain. And it's going to be so complicated that you're ultimately going to have to create I think Department of Energy or somebody will have to, you'll basically create a new IRS.
Yeah.
To track all this. So if you like the IRS, you would probably like this bill.
Wow. I don't think we need that. Here's a question for you, Darren. Here's a question for you, Darren. Are we pumping more? Are we drilling more right now in the U.S. than we had before? I keep hearing, you know, drill, baby, drill, and let's open up more reserves in Alaska and other places, and that the Biden administration is trying to shut down fossil fuels and fracking. So I get a little confused. You're kind of the expert. Are we drilling and pumping more now than we were, say, during the Trump administration?
No, and I think that the key is that the Biden policies are making it. They're literally, I mean, like a month ago, literally blocked all kinds of land in Alaska from being able to be leased. And then what they did was there were some lease sales that had already been approved, and they basically decided to change their mind and block the lease sales for oil drilling in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. The offshore drilling proposal is the most restrictive in history that the Biden administration just came out of. So, you know, even if there is some number that shows that we're drilling more this second, which I don't think there is, but if there was, the point is that moving forward, and we're going to be drilling a lot less, we're artificially restricting our ability to produce energy. And that's exactly what the Biden administration is doing. It sends an important message to anybody who wants to invest in fossil fuels and oil, gas, whatever, that you shouldn't. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they're not only doing this, they're not only attacking natural gas through banning off leases, but they're doing it through restricting our use, the consumer use of products. That's why you see the attack, like increased appliance efficiency standards or efforts to ban gas stoves, or as relates to kind of gasoline, to try to make it very difficult to buy gas-powered vehicles. They're going to try to force people into EVs.
Yeah, indeed. My colleague Ed Davis may have a question here for you.
Yeah, Darren, I was just wondering how much shutting the Keystone pipeline down also, because we forget to mention that. And also, any thought about when we might replenish the reserves that he let out to let gas down 2 cents a gallon?
Yeah, that's well, the first thing he did was kind of block the Keystone pipeline. So, yeah, I mean, it has an immediate impact. And that's going to take, you know, to kind of, even if you approve it, it's just going to take a little while to get things going again. And yes, I think a story that's lost is the fact that the Biden administration, President Biden himself, has been tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve more than any other president in history. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's not even close. So he's doing that as a way, he's using the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as a political cover for his bad policies. And that's inexcusable.
So, Darren, final question. What chance does this bill have of passage, really?
You know, I'm not sure. That's the concern. And there's also legislation that's somewhat similar. It's not the actual carbon tariff bill itself, but it's something called the Prove It Act. And that legislation would kind of create this, it would kind of have the Department of Energy figure out all the carbon use byproducts across industries, and basically is a framework to try to set things up so you can't have a carbon tariff and a domestic carbon tax. So that legislation is maybe even more concerning. So, you know, nobody should be fooled by that legislation. That isn't a way to try to get a carbon tariff. So there's all these different bills ultimately trying to impose higher costs on Americans through a carbon tariff, which would ultimately mean a domestic carbon tax. And it just, you know, I don't think that we should be punishing ourselves for using energy and for trying to be productive and trying to improve our quality of life. And that's exactly what this legislation
will do. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Darren, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure. Look forward to talking with you again.
All right, you take care.
Yes, sir. You do too. Darren Bast of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, pro-life groups are rejecting the idea that Republicans cannot win on abortion. We're going to give you the details.
I'm bringing sexy back. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for joining us. Hope you had a good weekend, and hope you had a thought or two for our Veterans Day having been on Saturday. So all of a sudden, President Biden is not only calling former political operatives dirty names, he's got a growing list of potential challengers. Remember Jill Stein? Good old Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate for president. She ran in 2016
16, and a lot of people say she helped Donald Trump defeat Hillary Clinton in the key states that he won. So she's announced she's running again. Why do they do this? Does she not realize that she's only going to hurt the Democratic Party? She's so far left. She's absolutely going to hurt she's going to help the Republicans. In fact, plenty of Democrats still blame Stein for putting Trump in the White House. Her vote total 7 years ago, as we said, in the key battleground states, including Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, were higher than Trump's margin of victory over Hillary.
You know, for some of them, I think they look at it as a part-time job where they can earn some extra money. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, for the donations. When you suspend it, you keep the rest.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Get a little FaceTime on TV and, you know.
You know, over the years, who was that guy that was always big on not driving a Corvair a long time ago? He was a presidential candidate all the time. You know who I'm talking about. And he kept screwing up the Democrats. he was, you know, a big time, what was his name? I'm sure we'll come up with it. I know somebody that might remember him. Our Eye in the Northern Sky. We'll remember the name of this guy. Angelo Ceraci. Do you remember, who was that presidential candidate? You remember he was against the Corvair because it was he considered it a death trap car?
Ralph Nader.
Yes. See, I told you he would know. You know everything, Angelo. So tell me, what do you think about Tim Scott dropping out as a candidate for the Republican nomination?
Well, I guess he sees the handwriting on the wall. I don't think he was getting the donations, the money coming in to run a campaign. You know, and it's only logical if you're not getting the money, it's kind of hard to run a campaign. You know.
Yeah, and then Joe Manchin, he drops out of running again for his seat in the Senate in West Virginia. Do you think he's thinking about running for president?
You know, I don't know if he is. It's hard to say, you know. I mean, he may be thinking of running as an independent, like you said, unless he's going to challenge President Biden.
Well, they are talking that if he does run, he might run as an independent. He's going around the country, and this is where you start to think he really has presidential ambitions. He's going around the country, he says, to listen to the people. Now, why the hell would you go all around the country listening to the people? First of all, you're not going all around the country listening to the people. You're not. You can say that you are, but you're not. You're going around the country to keep your face in the news.
In the news, right.
Okay? And why do you want to keep your face in the news? Because you want to get elected to something, right?
Right. These people, they have it in their blood to keep running for office.
That's right.
They don't want to give they don't want to get up and go to work in the morning like the rest of us, you know?
That is correct, sir.
They got this thing that, boy, hey, I'm either a senator, I'm a congressman. Hey, look, I'm president of the United States. You know what I mean? It's in their blood. They just don't want to give that nut up.
So let's get back to the Republican presidential candidates. What do you think of Nikki Haley these days? Did you watch that debate?
I watched some of it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, no matter what they're trying to tell the public, we already know what President Trump has done. We know what President Trump's policies are. I mean, are they going to do anything different than what he's doing, what he has done as president?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I think the majority of the Republican Party, according to the numbers and the polls, they want President Trump to run again. And, some of them have some good ideas. Maybe they'll have a little bit fresher ideas, but what are they going to accomplish that President Trump hasn't accomplished already?
Right. We're talking with... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, you wouldn't have the wars going on in the Middle East. You wouldn't have the war going on in Europe. You know, President Trump. You know, they'll say, oh, it would have happened anyway. No, it wouldn't have.
Mm.
You know, if you have a strong president and a strong United States, stuff like this just doesn't happen.
So, we're talking with, by the way, our Eye in the Northern Sky from Rochester, New York. Good old Rochester. Is it cold there, by the way?
It's like 42 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's cold.
It's a heat wave.
Ed doesn't have any, what's the word? His blood is thin.
No, I like the cold, but I do consider,
42
I consider
degrees.
That cold. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting colder. Okay. So here's the thing.
Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis both say they liked what President Trump did when he was president, mm-hmm. but because of all the problems that he's got right now, and also they need kind of a fresher face to pick up the ball and run. Now, do you think that is resounding with some people, Angelo, that they're saying, yeah, that may be true?
I think they're trying to sway the Republican voters like that, and the independents, that President Trump is in a lot of trouble and everything like that. And in reality, it's all a political thing that they're doing on the president. You know what I'm saying? It's all very political. And what they should be doing is standing by President Trump, saying that it is political. What they're doing is what a third world country does. What this administration has been doing to this president from day one since he got elected as president.
But I think
they're not, you know, so what they're doing is they're saying, well, yeah, he's got problems, he's got this and that. And in reality, it's all very, very political.
But I think if they come out and say that they understand that, and like you said, it will be twisted as an endorsement.
Right.
And I got one for the both of you. I wish your brother, I wish Angela was here. Oh, Andrew, sorry, but we keep saying over the last year or whatever it's been that Ron DeSantis just isn't ready. He's not ready yet. We agree on that. That's how we label it. Is we agree he's not ready, supposedly.
Do we agree on it?
We keep saying that, and everybody keeps saying it's not his time. We're not ready for him yet.
See, I don't agree with it necessarily.
Okay, well, that's the popular opinion.
Oh, okay.
We're not ready.
A lot of people would say that Ron DeSantis is not ready. Okay. That is correct.
Here's my thought, and you kind of think of it as like a piece of meat in the oven that needs to cook another couple of years, mm-hmm. and then it'll be ready. But let's say, just for the heck of it, and this would please the boys on Thursday morning at the Voice of No Reason, but suppose Trump comes out tomorrow and says, on the advice of my doctor, I have to pull out of the race. Now how ready is DeSantis?
He'll all of a sudden be ready.
Then
real quick.
All of a sudden he's ready.
Hey, this guy's been ready. Bring him out of the oven. He's ready.
But people keep saying, well, we're not ready for him. And I've said it too. What we have to come out and say is, sorry, pal, like all the rest of them, Trump's in the race. That's the bottom line.
I mean, Tim Scott just said, I'm not ready. It's not my time. Look,
Trump's still in it.
Finger in the air here, and I don't feel any wind blowing on my finger. It's not my time. So he drops out, which I think is to his credit. I think he could be a viable candidate in another 4 years. Now people know who he is, right? So that's a possibility.
Well, I would say, you know, that Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, would be one heck of a fine president. You know, my dream team would be Trump and DeSantis, and then DeSantis
that ain't
gonna
happen.
Trump.
Yeah,
I know it's not gonna
that ain't
happen,
gonna happen.
But you know, you're right in any sense that maybe something does go awry on the Trump campaign. Somebody has to come in and take the reins. I myself would say that it would be Ron DeSantis. Not Nikki Haley, definitely not Chris Christie or any of the other people.
Why not Nikki Haley?
Well, you know, she came across as being like, you know, she was kind of saying that Trump is like almost like a criminal or something, you know, and some of her.
I think she said, you know, there's a chance that he could be convicted, and therefore,
right,
we have to keep that in mind. And of course, I mean, she's running for president. I understand her saying that because, in effect, I think she's saying, you know what, I'll do the same thing that Donald Trump would do, but he might be in jail, so therefore I'm a more viable candidate to pick up the ball and do the same thing he would do.
Do any of you really believe that Trump would be convicted in a court?
No.
I don't think so, ultimately.
Not in a criminal. In a civil, possibly. And they'll look at that as an accomplishment.
I'm not even sure he's going to be convicted in a civil court.
Right, because it's all, even though it would be civil, it's still political.
I mean, on appeal is what I should say.
I mean, everything they have done, and to this day, to this very minute, is all political.
Of course.
I think the American people see this.
I think most do. Yeah.
I mean, you have to think of the real criminals, the gangsters. And guys like that are cheating the government. The Bidens,
yeah,
who are
political.
Cheating the government. And you're not even looking into that.
You won't see the media cover that at all. And the media hates Trump with a passion. So do you think they're ever going to come to his side? No way.
By the way, aren't they? Aren't we having more here? Are we going to have the family Biden show up in front of the House Oversight Committee to say hello? Is it later this week? I can't wait for that. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a public hearing.
Well, you watch this. Now, by the time they get to Joe Biden to get him to testify, all of a sudden he'll be declared incompetent. All of a sudden. Now, Biden,
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Therefore, he's not coming to the hearing.
This will be after his presidency is over. All of a sudden, he's now not competent.
And they won't even go after Biden, even after his presidency. It's just not going to happen because these people in the swamp, they take care of their own because they're on the make themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if the president ever got convicted, they themselves would be convicted.
I don't think they're going to impeach him either after. But we got another year to go. And if we get the family Biden sitting in front of that House Oversight Committee and basically not being able to tell you where all the money is coming from. What do you think?
It's a big change because I wasn't young enough to see it in person, but I've seen video of him in the 70s and 80s
and 90s. Well, you weren't old enough.
He was a straight up dude. You know, he even said, "Listen, I don't make a lot of money doing this job, but I'm going to do it right." Now it's just like it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Well, once they get to Washington and they get their foot in the door and they settle in,
they see
they're
how
all
much
out
money.
To take. They're all, it's all about the money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out to make names for themselves and they become millionaires.
Well, everybody knows it's a wink and a nod with Biden, okay? Everybody knows he's taking this money and everybody knows he's taking money from foreign companies and foreign countries and companies, so everybody knows it. All right, my friend.
Hillary Clinton's did the same thing with their foundation, right?
Hillary Clinton with her, absolutely. You know that. We all know that. They want the money supply to continue. They're used to getting the money, right? Show me the money. Anyway, Angelo, thank you so much, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Oh, quite welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
You too. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, I promise you, we are going to talk about the pro-life groups rejecting the idea that Republicans cannot win on the abortion issue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you for joining us. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are here live, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the terrific Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on tape, on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. That's OUR, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows up there for you. It's real easy to listen. You'll see who the guest is, and you'll see the top 10, everything you want. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so pro-life groups involved in the unsuccessful Ohio ballot measure that enshrined abortion access into the state's constitution are kind of, they're offering up a post-mortem on what went wrong and pushing back on the popular conception that abortion is the third rail for Republicans. Here's Susan B. Anthony. She is the Pro-Life America, it's not Susan B. Anthony. This is the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America president. Her name is Marjorie Dunnenfelser. She's released a memo. It explains how opponents of this Ohio abortion referendum, opponents, in other words, how pro-lifers were outspent 2-1 in a media blitz. And she said it consisted of ads that were, quote, lying to the voters of Ohio, unquote, because the abortion industry knows its positions are too extreme for most Americans. Now, here's the deal. Let's just cut to the chase on this. If you know that an unborn child in the womb is moving around, and it's got fingers and toes, and it's moving around in there, in other words, that is what is called, they use the word viable. Do you agree that you should still be able to abort that unborn child? I would say if you frame it that way, no. I think most people would say no. That's a human being and you shouldn't abort it. Now, it's hard to frame that in a referendum. But you would think Republicans that are pro-lifers would say it that way. You know? Nobody is going to win the argument that you cannot do abortions. You're not going to win that argument, no matter how pro-life you are. Because somebody will say, well, it's not even formed yet, and, you know, the mother should have that right. But when you get to a point where the child can be seen on a sonogram and everything else, I think that's where the pro-lifers win. So I don't know how they're going to do that, but I think in the long run, that would be the way to go. It's not going to be the main issue that Republicans are going to talk about next year when they're running. They're just not going to bring it up. But I guarantee you, all the Democrats that are running are going to bring that up. So you got to have a way of responding to it. And you got to be able to say it in a short... Look, the media is not going to be with you on this one. It doesn't make any difference how you frame it. The media is going to be against you.
I mean, if somebody debated me over it, And I held up a sonogram of an unborn child, and I held this to somebody and I said, "What is that?" And if they told me that's a human baby, I would say, "There you go."
Yeah, and I think most people would agree with you. I do. Okay, Ed. Before we get to our top 10, which is the top 10 worst states for education freedom, what happened to our Tampa Buccaneers? Did they win?
Well, actually, they did.
Oh, okay, good. Tell me about it. Who did they play?
It was against the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
They tried their best to lose it, but they didn't.
The last time I looked at the score, they were down 3-0 for a while, but then I saw it was 17-3.
Yeah, it was 20-6 was the final.
Okay, so they won rather handily.
Other teams lost, so technically the Bucs are in second place in their division.
They can make the playoffs, possibly.
Well, they have to go to... They got a lot of things.
They got to have a winning record.
They got to go to San Francisco next. Okay. That's not easy.
That's going
to
be tough.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. All right, Ed. Remember we talked about the 10 best states for education freedom. Do you recall who was number one?
No.
Florida,
that's right.
That's right. Okay. We're going to do the 10 worst states now.
All right.
This comes from the Heritage Foundation, all right? So here we go, number 10. New Jersey.
Mm.
Yep. 32nd in education choice, 41st in transparency, 32nd in teacher freedom, 49th in the return on investment. Okay, number nine. The state of Washington is pretty bad. 47th educational choice, 36th on transparency, 43rd on teacher freedom. Now, they're good on return on investment. They're number eight. Number eight, by the way. Delaware, all right. 39, 39, 50, and 23. I won't go over all of those. The numbers, the higher the number, the worse.
Mm.
Number seven, Minnesota, 45. That's education choice, by the way. 29, 45 on teacher freedom, 38. All right. Number six, Vermont. You know, if you live in Vermont, you're a sap.
Yeah. They're always...
I like that.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, they got the pun in that, but...
Okay.
They're always at the bottom of the list in some of these places.
26th in freedom, choice, 47th in transparency, 50th in return on investment.
If you go with fall foliage pictures, they're number one.
Yeah, I love their pictures. Oh, Vermont in the fall.
Yeah.
Beautiful state. Yeah. Beautiful state. Number five, another northeastern state, Massachusetts. They're 50th in education choice. 34th in transparency, 33rd in teacher freedom, and 29th in return on investment. Notice most of these states are up in the east.
North.
In north, yeah. In the north, yeah. Right. Number four, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, New York. 49th in choice, 44th in transparency, 24th in teacher freedom, and 40th in return on investment. Number three, Little Rhode Island.
Mm.
They're 38th in choice, but they're at last. They're 51st. That's because we include D.C. They're 51st in transparency. All right. Number two. My God, we're just staying up there in the Northeast.
Yep.
Connecticut. Usually Connecticut and Massachusetts, you always think about good quality teaching, but not necessarily anymore. 33rd in education choice. 43rd in transparency, 44th in teacher freedom, and dead last, 51st in return on investment. Okay, Ed, I know you're not going to get this one, and let me give you a hint. For number one, it's not in the Northeast.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about the North?
Well, yeah, I would say it's in the North, but don't get confused on that one either.
Illinois, I don't know.
I knew you were thinking Illinois. Yeah. I knew you were.
You want me to go west, right?
I did.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's Oregon.
Oregon.
Yes. Yeah. Oregon is 46th in education choice, 25th in transparency, 51st in teacher freedom, that's last, and 39th in return on investment. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. We will be back indeed on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.